Good evening, young disciples.
Good evening, sir.
I'd like to thank our song leaders. That would be Caleb Stark, Brita Goodland, is that right? Brandy Goodland, all right. Joanne Rice, Daniel Torres.
Joanna
Rice, excuse me. And Elijah Stark. Thank you. So, I have a question for you. How many of you enjoy traveling? Lots of you like traveling. I'm guessing you must at least be able to tolerate traveling because I doubt most of you live here. So you had to have traveled to get here. I enjoy traveling. Well, I should clarify that. I don't enjoy traveling per se, but I enjoy being other places that I have to travel to. So I can put up with the traveling for the sake of getting there. But I am curious. Now, as young disciples, God will probably call at least some of you to travel to other countries to share His word. So I'm curious to know what traveling you have done, what countries you have been to. So go ahead and stand up. All right, I am going to begin listing a few countries. I'm not going to list all of the countries. In fact, I'm probably not even going to list the majority of the countries. But I would like to know what countries you have been to. So think of all the countries you've been to. If I name a country, any country that you've been to, please be seated. I'm going to start with a few more distant ones, maybe less common ones, and work to a few that are closer to home.
America.
All right. If you have been to, how about Nicaragua? Anyone been there? No? Brazil. Peru. Chile. Argentina. Zimbabwe. I knew that would get at least one. Zambia, Ethiopia, Egypt, Morocco. I know somebody's sitting down from Morocco. I would be sitting down from Morocco. Okay, let's think of a few others here we could do. Let's move a little bit into Asia. How about Thailand? Surely we'll get someone on Thailand. Anyone sit down for Thailand? Okay. How about Cambodia? China, Japan, okay, a few should go down here, Philippines, I knew in a YD crowd the Philippines would have a large following, okay, Malaysia, any Malaysia visitors, Mongolia, okay, let's try a few European countries, Liechtenstein, no, it's a real country, I've been there, you laugh at me, but I've seen real people who live there. How about Monaco? Switzerland. Germany. France. Spain. Britain. Holland. Russia. Ukraine. All right. Australia. New Zealand. Okay, it looks like we need to get a little bit closer to home. How about Mexico? Ah, okay, some have been to Mexico. How about Canada? Okay, so we have some... Okay, well, we don't have time to go into too many other countries, so I am going to mention the United States. If you are still standing, you are very confused. So sit down if you are confused. All right.
Julia.
Our person doing opening prayer this evening will be Ryan. You're not confused? You're not confused? You're standing. You're praying. All right. Very good. Well, you're not confused. That's good. All right.
Please kneel with me for prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for giving us a good week so far at YD Camp. Please be with everybody that's feeling a little bit sick, because I know there's a couple of you guys out there. And thank you for keeping all the people and literature evangelism safe as we went out today, and hopefully that tomorrow will be good as well. Please bless all the counselors, staff, all the people in the back of the scenes that we don't see. Please be with the people in the kitchen as they made wonderful food for us. Please be with Mr. McIntosh as he's been talking to us, and it's been very blessing. And please help us to become more like you, and hope that we'll all see you come. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Ryan. All right. It's now time for our Bible memorization, so go ahead and get out your cards.
Actually, you don't need your cards right yet. But anyway, good evening, young disciples.
Good evening, ma'am.
Well, I promised I might have some units come up tonight. And I know you've been looking forward to that. So, trailblazers, to the front, please. You won't need your cards. You can stick it in your pocket or leave it there.
Four.
These are the mighty trailblazers. And if you sit behind them, you will see why I said that. They have boundless energy. Oh, looks like you can even stand on one foot. Okay, trailblazers, let us hear from you the beautiful words of Psalm 19, verses 1 and 2.
Declare the glory of God and the perfect show of his handiwork. Day unto day utter a speech, and night unto night show us knowledge.
Amen. Give them an amen. You may be seated. Thank you, trailblazers. Next, we're going to call on the messengers of light. The messengers of light. Going to have you recite some two verses, and there is something about light, something that gives light in these verses. Messengers of light, please recite Psalm 19, verses 3 and 4. There. Did you hear them?
No.
Okay, let's have the morning stars come and help them. Do you know this verse? You know it, don't you? Yeah, okay. Just needed some moral support. Okay. Now, this time, the combined units giving out light day and night will recite Psalm 19, 3 and 4 so that all can hear, even back there. Ready, go. Oh. It starts, my dear girls. There is no speech. Okay.
There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their mind is gone out to all the earth, the end of the world. In them have we set a tabernacle for the sun.
Up there, did you hear?
Yes.
Anybody else hear? Did you hear? Okay, amen. You may be seated. Now, keepers, please come forward. Keepers of the faith. It may be in another 10 or 20 years from now, some of you will be bridegrooms. Hard to imagine, huh? Should time last. But go ahead and come on past the dangerous pole. And recite for us verses 5 and 6. Did you hear that? All right, thank you. Amen. Daughters of God, please come forward. Along with the doers of the word. Did any, have any of you had a perfect cabin yet? Yes? Oh, good. Good. I'm glad to hear that because we're going to have you recite about something that's way more perfect than your cabin could ever be, or your tent, whatever one you want to call it. Go ahead and just move over. Oh, there's some smoke. Is that why you were moving around? Oh, sorry about that. Psalm 19, verses 7 and 8. Thank you. Did you hear that?
Yes.
All right. You may be seated. Thank you. Okay, we are going to go over the last verses in this psalm, which you already know because you've been singing them all week. So let's start with verse 9. We'll have the young ladies recite verse 9. Then the gentlemen or all the people on this side, whether you're whatever, and all the people on this side, whatever you are, male or female. Okay, mostly ladies, but there are others. Recite verse 9 and 10. Then what will you do after 10?
Turn around.
11. Yeah, and then you will do... verse
12.
Ah, very good. Good, I was worried for a moment there. And then 13 and 14. And see if you can stand when you recite your verse. Okay, so ladies, stand. And this is not supposed to be with your cards, by the way. I don't really need your cards anymore. You know these already.
The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are right, and righteous altogether.
Okay, let's try that again. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Thank you. Tomorrow night we'll be giving some more opportunities for you to recite these beautiful words. And until then, may it be the prayer of each one of us that the words of our mouths and the meditation of our heart will be acceptable in God's sight.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening, sir.
Man, look at that fire. That is a fire, man. I tell you what, they know how to build fires around here. there's one thing YD Camp knows. It's not they know how to build a fire. Who's the guy in charge of the fire? We should give him a big hand. That's the biggest fire that I've seen in a long time. Man, I'm going to tell all the other camps I ever visit, man, if they know how to build a fire, that's at YD Camp. Wow. How many of you had a good day? That's good. I'm glad to hear that. And let's just review a little bit, and then we'll go forward a little bit more. So, the first time we got together and talked, we're going to have another prayer here in a minute. Remind me of that if I forget, but I want to review first. The first time we got together, we talked about what? Everyone's going to remember the hair, which was an illustration of something that was bigger than the hair, although the hair was very big. And what was it that was remind us of? Yeah, not to focus on ourselves or others and try and be like them, like all the people that was like that guy. But we dare not compare ourselves or measure ourselves by ourselves because we're not wise if we do that, the Bible said, right? So we need to be individuals in Christ, right? So that was the first thing. So we're not to look to others. We're not to look to ourselves. We're to look to who? To Christ. That's what we learned first. Then the second time we got together, we talked a little bit about something. What was it we talked about? Does anyone remember? Yeah.
God drawing us?
God is drawing us. Is he drawing you? Yeah, he's drawing you. And this week, has he been talking to you, your heart? Has he? He's been drawing you, right? He's been drawing each of us, and he draws everybody in the entire world. He is drawing them. He's doing all he can to draw them. And the question is whether or not we're going to respond to that drawing. That's what we talked about the second night. Now, what did we talk about the third night? Does anyone remember? Yeah. Yeah, he wants to draw us into his presence. We talked about that, but then there was a story we told about these people that went into the presence of a nuclear reactor and they weren't quite ready. And what happened? One of them died, and the others almost died because that was a consuming fire. And if God is drawing us and we're not ready, what can happen if we go into his presence? Yeah, we will be incinerated. So God, in his mercy, you know, even in the sanctuary. How many of you thankful for the fire tonight? How many think this is a great fire? And in the sanctuary, there were a number of fires. How many fires were there in the sanctuary? There were three fires. And the fires, they got closer and closer to God. I want to make this point. I think I can prove it. The first fire was not as bright as the second fire, and the second fire was not as bright as the third fire. The first fire was out there in the courtyard. There was nothing to reflect from the fire. But the second fire reflected off all of the gold. By the way, it's probably more than three fires. It's probably, if you count the lampstands, there's what? Quite a few more, right? So there was a real bright fire in the holy place, but then the brightest and most brilliant was where? In the most holy place. So God was trying to move people from one fire to the next fire to the next fire. Ultimately, he wanted them to be in his presence. But he put curtains between those. Why? They weren't ready. They weren't ready. But he desired them ultimately to be ready. Amen? So we were praying about that. Was there anything that came between us and God or others? And then last night, what did we talk about? Yeah. Us?
No, the secret faults.
Okay, secret faults. But specifically, we talked about something. What did we talk about?
Norm the carpet cleaner.
We talked about Norm the carpet cleaner. Exactly. And he was like kind of a... God sent another father figure in my life during that time who was filled with joy. And God does that for us. Well, what else we talk about?
We talked about how we need to get rid of our bitterness and resentment.
That's right. We talked about anger, resentment, that then festers into bitterness. How long does the Bible give you license to be angry? It never gives you license to be angry in the wrong way. But even righteous anger, you can only be angry one day. Every time the sun goes down, you're supposed to be done with it, right? Now, you might say righteous indignation can last longer than that. Okay, we know you're theologians, but anger is something pretty caustic. It could turn into resentment, and then it can turn into bitterness. And last night we talked about a certain kind of bitterness, maybe bitterness between people in our own homes, in our own families. And, you know, some of you talked to me about that later, and you said that you knew someone that had struggled with bitterness. Anybody here tonight that knows someone that had struggled with that kind of bitterness? And what I ask you to do was to think about that, and we looked at a text. Does anyone remember the text we look at? We look at a text in Ezekiel 18:14 that said, you can see all the things your father has done. This man had done some bad things. You can consider them, but then it says, but don't do likewise. Remember how we talked about that? In other words, the bitterness can end. Now, the devil does not want bitterness to end. He doesn't like that. He doesn't. How many of you want to say to the devil tonight, I don't care if you don't want it to end. By God's grace, I want the bitterness to end. Amen? Now, how many of you had the courage to write that out on a card? And how many of you have the courage to bring that forward and put it in the fire tonight? Amen? Why don't we sing Amazing Grace? And while we're singing Amazing Grace, why don't you come and put those cards in the fire? Would you do that? Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. Man, I tell you what, that's the nicest fire I've seen in a while. Amen?
Amen.
And I don't know. I hope that represents for you something of significance. You know, it's kind of like baptism's supposed to be like. You die to the past, and you look forward. Now, I'm going to make a guess. Some of you still have some of that lingering bitterness that you decided, I'm not going to come forward. So, do you mind if I read you a little story tonight? After I pray, thank you, Pastor. And I want to read you a little story, and then I want to leave you with another text tonight that I think is very important. Because if you get rid of something, here's the point. If I don't get to the point, like if someone like pulls me off because it's too late, you know, maybe I don't know who would do that. I don't know if Mrs. Everett would do that or not. How many think she would not do that? No, she wouldn't do that. But here's the point. Whenever we do something like you guys just did that took a lot of courage, and I hope it was significant to you, you know what the devil does? Okay. All right. Let's see. Let's see how serious they are. They got rid of something. But I'm going to... Well, there's a story like this. Wait a minute. I better pray. Let's pray. Let's just... If you can, kneel down, kneel down. If you can't, then don't. Father in heaven, I'm thankful for the courage tonight that you put in these young people's hearts as they've thought and they've prayed. The Holy Spirit's been working to bring to their attention things that have come between themselves and you, or perhaps others, or most assuredly others. And the devil never wants those things to be incinerated. He never wants them to be gotten rid of. He wants them to destroy us, to incinerate us. And so thank you tonight for the courage, the same courage that we saw as we read in Acts 19 of those that burned all their books and their idols. And whenever that happens, the devil is especially angry, and he, if he is alive, and he is, and if he is a roaring lion, and he is, even now, in this time and in this place, he's attempting to bring even worse things into our lives. And so we want to just say, Lord, protect us tonight. Send your angels around us. Minister to us individually. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So, I want to read you a little story, and then we'll get back to our point, which is, I told you this text, Matthew 10, story about this person who swept their house completely clean. I remember that story. House was clean. And then what happened? The demons that went out, they were flying around for a while, and they said, well, I'm going to go back and see what that house is that I got kicked out of. And then what happened? They found that it was swept clean. And they went back in, and they brought more of their buddies. So it was worse than it was before. How many of you don't want that to happen at YD camp? You just put everything into the fire, but you don't want it to get worse now that you did that. How many think we should talk about that? Just in case those thoughts and things were lingering around, they might come back. How many think they might come back? We need to be ready for that. Okay. So I want to read this story first, and then I'll leave you with a text. Back in 1924, or 1921, which is before most of us were born, a missionary couple named David and Sophia Flood went with their two-year-old son from Sweden to the heart of Africa, to the Belgian Congo, and they met another Scandinavian couple, the Ericssons, and the four of them sought God for direction. And in those days of tenderness and devotion and sacrifice, they felt led by the Lord to set out from the main mission station and take the gospel to a very remote area. This was a huge step of faith for them. At the village of Indalora, they were rebuffed by the chief, who would not let them enter his town for fear of alienating the local gods. So the two couples opted to go a half a mile up the slope and build their own mud huts. They prayed for a spiritual breakthrough, but there was none. The only contact with the villagers was a little boy, a young boy, who was allowed to sell them chickens and eggs twice a week. Evidently, they had not got the menu from Young Disciples yet. Sophia Flood, a tiny woman, only 4 feet, 8 inches tall, decided that if this was the only African she could talk to, she would try to lead the boy to Christ. And in fact, she succeeded. The little boy accepted Jesus Christ. He became a young disciple. But there were no other encouragements. Meanwhile, malaria continued to strike one member of the little band after another, and in time the Ericssons decided they had enough suffering and left to return to the central mission station. But David and Sophia Flood remained near Indalora to go on alone. Then, of all things, Sophia found herself pregnant in the middle of the primitive wilderness. And when the time came for her to give birth, the village chief softened enough to allow a midwife to come and help her. And a little girl was born, who they named Anna. The delivery, however, was exhausting, and Sophia Flood, already weak from bouts of malaria, died. She lasted only 17 days after her child was born. Inside David Flood, something snapped in that moment. He dug a crude grave, buried his 27-year-old wife, and then took his children back down the mountain to the mission station. Giving his newborn daughter to the Ericssons, he snarled, "I'm going back to Sweden. I've lost my wife, and I obviously can't take care of this baby. God has ruined my life." With that, he headed for the port, rejecting not only his calling, but God himself. Within 8 months, both the Ericssons were stricken with a mysterious malady and died within days of each other. And the baby was then turned over to some American missionaries who adjusted her name to Aggie and eventually brought her to the United States when she was 3 years old. How many think there's enough tragedy already in the story? The family loved the little girl, and they were afraid that if they tried to return to Africa, some legal obstacle might separate her from them, so they decided to stay in their home and switch from missionary work to pastoral ministry. And that's how Aggie grew up in South Dakota. And as a young woman, she entered a Bible college in Minneapolis, and there she met and married a young man named Dewey Hurst. And years passed, and they enjoyed a fruitful ministry, and Aggie gave birth to her first daughter and then a son. And in her time, her husband became president of a Christian college in the Seattle, Washington area. Yes. I'm glad that touched you. Aggie was intrigued to find so much Scandinavian heritage there. And one day, a Swedish religious magazine appeared in her mailbox. She had no idea who sent it, and of course she couldn't read the words. But as she turned the pages, all of a sudden, a photo stopped her cold. There, in a primitive setting, was a grave with a white cross. And on the cross were the words, Svea Flood. That was her mother, right? Aggie jumped in her car and went straight to the college and found a faculty member who she knew could translate the article. What does this say? She demanded. And the instructor summarized the story. It was about missionaries who had come to Indolora long ago and the birth of a white baby and the death of a young mother and one little African boy who had been led to Christ and how, after all of the white people had left, that boy had grown up and finally persuaded the chief to let him build a school in the village. And the article said that gradually he won all his students to Christ and that the children led their parents to Christ, and even the chief had become a Christian. And today there were 600 Christian believers in one village, all because of the sacrifice of David and Svea Flood. And for the Hearst 25th anniversary, the college presented them with a gift of a vacation to Sweden. And there Aggie sought to find her real father, an old man now. David Flood had remarried. 4 more children later, and he had dissipated his life with alcohol. He had suffered a stroke. He was still bitter, and there was one rule in his family. Never mention the name of God. Because God, he said, took everything from me. After an emotional reunion with her half-brothers and half-sister, Aggie brought up the subject of seeing her father, and the others hesitated. You can talk to him, they replied, even though he's very ill now, but you need to know that whenever he hears the name of God, he flies into a rage. Aggie was not deterred. She walked into the squalid apartment with liquor bottles everywhere and approached the 73-year-old man lying in a rumpled bed. Papa, Papa, she said tentatively. He turned and began to cry. Aina, he said, I never meant to give you away. It's all right, Papa, she replied, taking him gently in her arms. God took care of me. The man instantly stiffened, and the tears immediately stopped. God forgot all of us. Our lives have been like this because of him. He turned his face back to the wall. Aggie stroked his face and then continued undaunted. Papa, I've got a little story to tell you, and it's a true one. You didn't go to Africa in vain. Mama didn't die in vain. The little boy that you won to the Lord grew up to win the whole village to Jesus Christ. The one seed you planted just kept growing and growing and growing. And today there are 600 African people serving the Lord because you were faithful to the call of God in your life. Papa, Jesus loves you. He's never hated you. The old man turned to look into his daughter's eyes, and his body relaxed. And for the first time in years, he began to talk. And by the end of the afternoon, he had come back to God, the God he had resented for so many decades. Over the next few days, Father and daughter enjoyed warm moments together. Aggie and her husband soon had to return to America, and within a few weeks, David Flood had gone to rest. A few years later, Aggie and her husband were attending a high-level evangelism conference in London, England, when a report was given from the nation of Zaire, former Belgian Congo. The superintendent of the National Church, representing some 110,000 baptized believers, spoke eloquently of the gospel spread in his nation, and Aggie could not help but going forward to ask him if he'd ever heard of David and Svea Flood. "Well, yes, madam," the man replied in French, his words being translated into English. "It was Svea Flood who led me to Jesus when I was a little boy. I was the boy who brought food to your parents before you were born. In fact, to this day, your mother's grave and her memory are honored by all of us." And he embraced her with a long, sobbing hug, and he continued, "You must come to Africa to see, because your mother is the most famous person in our history." And in time, that's exactly what Aggie Hurst and her husband did. And they were welcomed by the cheering throngs of villagers. She even met a man who had been hired by her father years before to carry her back down the mountain in a hammock. But the most dramatic moment came, of course, when the pastor escorted Aggie to see her mother's white cross for herself. And she knelt in the soil to pray and give thanks. And later that day in church, the pastor read a text from John 12 and verse 29. "I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds." And then he followed up with the text, "Those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy." Now, how many of you know why I told you that story? It was a picture of a man that held on to anger and bitterness for how long? Over 50, 60, maybe close to 70 years. It's not worth it. Amen? And sometimes the things that have happened to us and whatnot, they seem like the worst things possible, but God still can even work through them for good. How many of you are thankful for that? Now, I told you I wanted to leave you with a thought tonight that I think is important. And this is the thought. God wants to wipe away anger, resentment, and bitterness among his people. Amen? He wants to burn it up. But if once that's been wiped away, something doesn't take its place, then we can be worse off than before. So what should take its place? What should take its place? You see, if we get into the presence of the Lord, which is the whole point, he's drawing us, yes or no? When we get into his presence, what's going to be in his presence? In his presence is fullness of joy. Can you say amen to that? There's going to be a joy and rejoicing in the presence of Jesus. How many of you think that in place of the bitterness, perhaps we should allow God to give us thankfulness, to give us gratefulness, to give us gratitude, to give us joy? Amen? I got to tell you, when I was about your age, I had a hard time being joyful because I was so angry. I can remember when I stopped singing hymns. I am thankful that young disciples are not like that. You guys like to sing songs. You like to sing hymns. At least most of you do. But how many of you think you could be even more joyful? And not a conjured up joy. A joy that comes from Jesus. How many of you want to have a joy that comes from Jesus? So here's the thing. We've made a decision here at the camp, and I think it's a beautiful decision, to allow what? Jesus to burn away all the bitterness. But how about now making a decision to say, now fill my heart with thanksgiving. Fill my heart with gratitude. Fill my heart with joy. Amen? The Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Joseph did it. Remember, he was sold by his brothers into slavery. And then in Genesis 50 and verse 20, after he had gone through many years of suffering, he said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Amen? So Jesus' life was filled with joy. He was looking to the cross, and it says, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. By the way, each of you had mothers who endured a lot of pain to have you. Maybe some had epidurals, I don't know. But most of them endured the pain, and you are pictures of joy. But they were not thinking probably so much joyful maybe 2 hours before you were born. How many were thankful that they endured the suffering because of you? And I bet you what, you know what? Nothing would make them more joyful than you returning with a song on your heart and joy in your face. You say, man, I'm going to send them back to that camp again. Now, you probably already came joyful, but if you came back even more joyful, you come home, you say, Mom, I learned how to cook. Can I cook all the meals this week? I'm going to tell you, you're going to see some joy. Tell you what, my daughter was in the cooking class that Mrs. D.K. Kim gave today. Woo! My wife said, your daughter made this. I looked at it. I could not believe it. My stomach was filled with joy. My chest was filled with joy. Everything was filled with joy. Amen? Yes. They come back, you know, and you've come from the deep woods wilderness class, and you build a teepee and say, don't worry, turn down the heat in my room. I'm conserving energy. They're going to be filled with joy. Amen? Yes. Come back from the preaching class, you say, Pastor, let me take the service this week. Amen? The church will be filled with joy. How many want to go back from this place saying goodbye to the bitterness but being filled with the joy? Well, I tell you what, God wants us. He wants us to say goodbye to the anger and bitterness. Even the darkest and most depressing and disappointing things God can use for his glory and for his power. Amen? Now, what I told you is just so important, you know? It's so important. Overcoming evil with good. Overcoming evil with good. A great study, which I'm tempted to go into, but I know we need to close, is the power of thanksgiving. The power of thanksgiving. Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. Thanks be to God. So, God is drawing you, amen? And we have been working this week on getting everything out of the way, amen? And one of the things of getting everything out of the way is putting something in its place. So what are you thankful for? What are you rejoicing in? Every moment. I just was at a funeral a couple weeks ago. And as I was there preaching the funeral service, I recognized that service was a time to express the joy of the Lord on behalf of what God had done through this person's life. And though it was a trying time, it was a time filled with joy because we saw what God had done. You know, I'll say one last thing. Maybe you need to die here at YD Camp. I don't mean literally, but I mean die completely to self. Go down under those waters of baptism and come back up. I don't know if God's impressing you that way, But if you seriously have been asking those questions, what's coming between me and God? If you burned your bitterness tonight, if you've made the decision, Lord, I want you in my life, fill me with joy. Those are kind of the people that are making the decisions that go along with baptism. So if you haven't been baptized, or if you need to recommit this week, how many of you want to start praying about that right now? How many think that would bring joy to the heart of the Lord? Well, it's not for a YD camp. It's for the Lord. Amen. I want you to pray about that. I want you to think about that. Let's pray together as we close. Father in heaven, Lord, we're thankful that you never take anything away from us that's meant for our good. And anything that is taken away, you have things that can be put in their place that are so much better. Lord, sweep our hearts clean. But don't just keep them swept clean. Fill them so that we can increase and increase more and more and then abound. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.